Great to have you here.
Thank you.
In this lesson, we're exploring understanding the future of work.
We really are, and it's such a vital topic.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, because when people hear the phrase the future of work, they instantly picture, you know, holographic desks or like robotic assistants making their morning coffee.
Right. It feels super sci-fi.
Exactly. It feels like a distant reality. But the truth is much more immediate. The future of work is happening around you right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's being driven every single day by accelerating technology, globalization, and just this massive shift in how we communicate digitally.
Yeah.
So if you are a young professional stepping into your career or a university student preparing to graduate, understanding these mechanisms isn't just a nice bonus on your resume anymore.
No, not at all.
It is the absolute baseline for entering the modern workforce.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. Because it sounds like the modern workplace is basically a smartphone operating system.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, like it requires constant updates behind the scenes. And if you don't actively update your own internal skills to match the new system, you just start glitching out.
It really do.
You miss the new features.
Yeah.
Your old programs stop running smoothly. And eventually, you know, you just fall completely behind the rest of the network.
That smartphone analogy perfectly captures the friction of the current economy. We are operating in a state of continuous evolution.
Yeah.
Entire industries are being forced to adapt to massive digital shifts, things like advanced automation, AI, cloud-based global connectivity.
Right.
And when the overarching architecture of an organization changes, the everyday expectations placed on you, the workforce, they transform right alongside it.
Makes sense.
You can't run modern cloud-based software on an operating system from 15 years ago. The hardware might look the same, but the internal logic just won't compute.
Which means the traditional career playbook is effectively obsolete now.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, the old model was so straightforward. You get your degree, you learn a specific set of hard skills, and you just coast on that knowledge until retirement.
Right.
Now it seems like relying on a static one-time skill set is incredibly risky.
It the professional equivalent of standing still on a moving treadmill.
Ooh, yeah.
Because automation and global connectivity mean that the rote, repetitive tasks, you know, the things we used to consider safe, entry-level jobs, those are being handled by software now.
Yeah, algorithms are taking those.
Exactly. So what employers actually need now are people who possess future skills. It's a hybrid requirement.
A hybrid.
Yeah, they need digital literacy, naturally. But they are desperately seeking the messy human stuff that algorithms literally cannot replicate.
Oh, okay.
They want adaptability, the capacity for complex collaboration, the drive for innovation, and most importantly, an appetite for continuous learning.
Okay, I have to pause you right there, because I want to play devil's advocate for the listener for a second.
Go for it.
Continuous learning sounds incredibly noble in a textbook, but in reality, it kind of sounds like endless unpaid homework.
I hear that a lot.
Right. I mean, when someone is already pulling 40 to 50 hours a week, trying to meet project deadlines and just keep their head above water, being told they also need to constantly learn new things is a recipe for instant burnout.
Oh, 100%.
So how do we practically fit this in without feeling completely crushed by information overload?
That is the most common and honestly most valid hurdle people face. The burnout happens when you define continuous learning as like enrolling in a 10-week certification course every single time a new software gets released.
Yeah, that sounds exhausting.
It is. That approach is totally unsustainable. What continuous learning actually means in a functional workplace is just shifting your daily workflow mindset. It's micro-learning.
Micro-learning.
Yeah, it's dedicating 15 minutes to watch a tutorial on how to automate your inbox so you save an hour next week.
Oh, nice.
It's having the curiosity to just click around a new project management platform instead of waiting for IT to hand you a 50-page manual.
So it's less about taking on massive new educational burdens and more about building a habit of just making micro-adjustments.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how that small shift in mindset completely changes your relationship with your career.
How so?
It removes the fear. When you accept that the landscape will constantly change, you stop trying to memorize the map. Instead, you focus on building a really good compass.
Building a really good compass. I love that.
Right. Understanding these workplace trends gives you agency. It transforms continuous learning from this external demand into an empowering internal tool.
Yeah, you take control.
You are taking control of your own trajectory by knowing how to learn, unlearn, and relearn on the fly.
Okay, building a good compass instead of memorizing a map.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the specific tools you need to actually build that compass. If adaptability is the overarching mindset, what are the practical day-to-day skills you need to cultivate?
The central strategy is to develop highly transferable skills.
Okay.
You need capabilities that remain valuable regardless of what industry you are in or, you know, what specific platform your company decides to purchase tomorrow. You build these transferable skills right alongside your digital confidence.
So transferable skills act like the ultimate Swiss Army knife for your career.
That is exactly what they are.
Because the specific spreadsheet software you use to track a budget might get replaced next month. A completely new communication platform might roll out across the company next year.
Happens all the time.
Right. But the human-centered ability to analyze data, to mediate a conflict between two stressed-out coworkers, or to communicate a complex idea clearly to a client, those specific blades on your Swiss Army knife will never go obsolete.
Never. And that leads directly to a massive misconception about digital confidence.
Oh, what's the misconception?
Well, when people hear that they need digital skills, the immediate panic is that they need to learn how to write Python code or understand the architecture of a machine learning neural network.
Yeah, that they need to become software engineers.
Exactly. But true digital confidence isn't about being an IT expert. It is about understanding the underlying logic of the digital tools we use.
Right. It's knowing why the tool exists, not necessarily how to program it from scratch.
That is exactly the distinction. I mean, if you understand the conceptual logic of a Kanban board that work moves from to-do to doing to done, it really doesn't matter if your new company uses Trello or Jira or Asana.
Right, because the concept is the same.
Exactly. You have the digital confidence to say, I know how this system works conceptually. I just need 10 minutes to figure out where the developers put the specific buttons on the screen.
Yeah.
That flexibility, that willingness to engage with the new interface without panicking is what employers are actually testing for.
Let's look at how this plays out in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have an incredible case study in our deep dive today about a recent graduate who dramatically improved their career trajectory.
We do.
And the plot twist here is that they didn't do it by inventing some fancy new algorithm.
No, they didn't touch code at all. This graduate stood out by intensely focusing on the intersection of digital tools and human-centered communication, specifically tailored for a remote work environment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they basically mastered the mechanics of global collaboration.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because remote collaboration is one of those buzzwords everyone throws around.
It really is.
Right. It's easy to say, oh, I know how to use video chat, but everyone knows how to turn on a webcam. What was the actual mechanism this graduate used to bridge that gap?
Good question.
I mean, how did they collaborate when absolutely no one was sitting in the same physical room?
Well, they recognize that remote work completely changes the nature of how information flows.
Mm-hmm.
In a physical office, you have accidental collaboration. You bump into a colleague in the break room and quickly resolve an issue. But in a digital environment, collaboration has to be fiercely intentional.
That makes sense. No chance encounters.
Right. So this graduate mastered asynchronous communication. Instead of trying to schedule a 30-minute meeting with team members spread across three different global time zones, they started using asynchronous video tools.
Wait, meaning they would just record a quick video of themselves talking through a problem?
Yes. They would record a 2-minute screen share walking through a slide deck or a design mock-up, clearly state what feedback they needed, and just drop that video into the project channel.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Right. The team in London could watch it during their morning, the team in Tokyo could review it during their afternoon, and the project kept moving forward without a single real-time meeting.
Wow.
They used digital literacy to solve a very human logistical problem.
That is such a powerful application because it fundamentally respects the other person's time.
Absolutely.
But what about the trust factor? I mean, if you are never in the same room and you aren't even on the phone at the same time, how do you build rapport? Without the water cooler conversations, how do you prove you are reliable?
By manufacturing those social cues intentionally.
How do you do that?
Well, this graduate created a working with me document. It was basically a brief user manual for themselves.
A user manual. That is so cool.
It really is. It outlined their core working hours, the best way to reach them for urgent issues versus non-urgent feedback, and even how they preferred to receive constructive criticism.
So instead of making their colleagues guess their communication style, They just handed them the instruction manual.
Which eliminates an enormous amount of workplace friction.
I bet.
They applied human-centered adaptability to a digital framework. And the result directly translated into emerging opportunities for them.
Yeah, I can see why.
Employers look at someone operating at that level of digital maturity and see a professional who won't just survive workplace transformation, but will actively help the organization drive it forward.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means the technology itself is just the vehicle. Your human-centered skills determine how well you drive it.
Exactly.
But driving that vehicle on a global 24/7 highway brings up some major friction points. If I can theoretically message a colleague in Tokyo, a client in London, and a vendor in New York all before my morning coffee, we really need to talk about the speed limits.
We do. And this brings us to the ethical and responsible implications of digital connectivity.
Because the reality of this global reach is the terrifying always-on culture.
Oh, it is brutal.
Right. If my manager in London sends me a Slack message at 9:00 p.m. my time, the psychological pressure to answer instantly is immense.
It really is.
With all this digital collaboration, how do we manage these tools responsibly so we don't just completely burn out?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, changing workforce expectations aren't just about output anymore. They are increasingly focused on the sustainability of our work practices.
Okay, sustainability.
Yeah. Responsible use means employing digital communication tools with deep intentionality and boundary awareness. It requires professional maturity.
Give me the mechanics of that. Because it's one thing to say respect boundaries, but how do you actually do that when the tools are literally designed to ping you constantly?
It requires action on both sides of the communication. Let's take your example of the late night message.
Yeah.
Being digitally literate means understanding the psychological weight of a notification. If you are catching up on emails at 11:00 p.m., you do not hit send.
Right, you don't want to wake them up.
Exactly. You use the scheduled send feature to ensure that email arrives in your colleague's inbox at 8:00 a.m. their local time. You are effectively shielding them from the pressure of your own working hours.
Okay, so that's on the sender. But what about the receiver? How do I protect my own time without looking like I'm slacking off?
You utilize the system status indicators explicitly. You set your communication platforms to do not disturb at a specific hour, and you actually mute the notifications on your phone.
You have to actually press the button.
Yes. And beyond the software, it involves navigating global collaborations with cultural and ethical awareness.
Like what?
Well, many professionals now include a simple line in their email signature that says, "My working hours may not be your working hours. Please do not feel obligated to reply outside of your normal schedule."
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's about establishing explicit rules of engagement.
Which goes back to that Swiss Army knife analogy. If you aren't careful with the tools, you end up cutting yourself.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. If continuous learning and constant connectivity lead to chronic burnout, you aren't adapting. You're just crashing your own operating system.
Exactly. The human-centered skills we discussed, like adaptability and emotional intelligence, they must be applied inward toward your own well-being, just as much as they are applied outward toward your team.
Yeah.
True career readiness in a digital age means knowing how to unplug just as effectively as you know how to log in.
So if I'm convinced that I need to update my internal software, understand my industry's changes, and set these digital boundaries, where do I actually go to download the patch?
Good question.
What is the practical application for you today?
The deep dive materials give a very specific, actionable marching order to build this muscle.
Okay, what is it?
The challenge is to research one specific industry, not the entire global economy, just one specific sector that genuinely interests you.
Okay, let's say I choose supply chain logistics or maybe digital marketing. What exactly am I looking for?
As you research that sector, you need to identify four specific pillars.
Four pillars, got it.
First, what are the future workplace trends specific to that field? Second, how are the skill requirements changing right now?
Okay.
Third, where are the emerging opportunities for growth? And finally, what are the potential challenges or bottlenecks that industry is facing?
And while you were doing that research, I want you to actively keep the lesson's core reflection prompt in the back of your mind.
Yes, very important.
Ask yourself, how can understanding workplace trends help me prepare for future career success?
Because by doing that research activity, you are actively answering that prompt in real time. You are practicing adaptability.
Yeah.
You are scanning the horizon to see what is coming, which guarantees you will not be caught off guard when the industry inevitably shifts. You are building the compass.
But once I identify the skills I need, Say, my research shows that data visualization is becoming mandatory in digital marketing. Where is the gym where I go to lift those specific weights?
Oh, the curriculum points directly toward continuous learning platforms like LinkedIn Learning, Coursera, and 8X. These are incredibly powerful digital tools.
And the beauty is, you don't need to put your life on hold to go back for a four-year degree just to learn data visualization.
Exactly the opposite. These platforms are designed for the micro-learning we talked about earlier. They are the essential gyms for building digital confidence incrementally.
Which is so much more manageable.
It really is. If you identify a gap in your skill set, you can go to Coursera or EdX and find a targeted module on that exact topic. If you realize you need to improve your cross-cultural communication for a globally distributed team, well, LinkedIn Learning has specific resources for that.
Right.
You develop transferable skills as an active, ongoing habit rather than a one-time event.
Right.
It creates a continuous positive loop. You stay informed about the trends in your industry. You use accessible platforms to adapt your skills to meet those trends. You apply those skills with digital confidence in your daily workflow. And you manage it all with a human-centered, responsible approach to your own boundaries.
That is the exact formula for long-term employability in this new era.
I love that.
To synthesize our exploration today, the core theme is that future careers belong to those who actively cultivate this unique blend of adaptability, human-centered soft skills, and digital confidence.
Yeah.
The workplaces of tomorrow, and frankly, the workplaces of today, are evolving at an unprecedented rate. Engaging with these trends is not a passive activity.
No, you have to be active. Right. It is the ultimate key to improving your career readiness in a rapidly transforming world.
It's been an incredible deep dive, and hopefully you feel equipped to navigate this changing landscape. For everyone listening, your goal now is to put this into practice. Stay curious, responsible, and future ready. Make sure you review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
They are specifically designed to reinforce the mechanics we've just unpacked.
Exactly.
And before we close, it is important to acknowledge the foundational academic frameworks that inform these concepts.
Yes, absolutely.
The insights and strategies we discussed are deeply rooted in seminal texts on workplace evolution, specifically The Future of Work, The Second Machine Age, and Deep Work.
Fantastic resources.
They really are. Engaging with the concepts from these works provides a vital lens for understanding the ongoing digital and economic shifts shaping our world. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration.
Thank you. And you head back into your day, I'll leave you with this final thought to mull over. If your career was indeed a smartphone operating system, what is the one critical update you've been putting off hitting install on? And what becomes possible for you the moment you finally do?